Radharas Sudaniti, we started reading about the glories of Radharani's moon-like face, Varana Chandra, Mahima. And we read yesterday how it's Rasa Sindhu Saram, and we discussed how the beauty of her face is so many different rasas are there because her body is made of Mahabhav. And if you take an ocean and condense it, she's the essence of an entire ocean of ras. And then there's some pastime where Radharani shows how beautiful her face looks when Krishna sees it. And then we want to hear also how Krishna is standing why he stands in threefold bending form. This one pastime that shows the beauty of Radharani's face. Sometimes when Radha and Krishna, they're together on the banks of the Yamuna or Radhakund or anywhere, they enter a Keli Nikunj or a pastime grove, a forest grove. And at that time, Krishna is very eager. He feels very eager to serve Priyaji in different ways. Because as we're so eager, or at least trying to become eager, to serve Krishna, we should know that this seva utsaha nistrayatariyat, and Upadeshamrita, Rupa Goswami explains that these are the characteristics, the lakshana of a sevite, of a servant, that he's very utsaha, nishta. He's always enthusiastic. He's very enthusiastic to serve. And he serves with great steadiness. He's very steady. And he's very patient and tolerant, but always looking for an opportunity to serve. Where's service? Not that he's just standing around looking out the window, because there's service everywhere. This world is made of opportunities for service. And the spiritual world, every inch of the spiritual world is providing arrangement, providing facility for serving. Every moment there's an opportunity to serve Radha and Krishna and give them pleasure. And the same thing in this world. In every opportunity, in every place we look or see, there's an opportunity to serve Radha and Krishna, to engage someone or something in a service of Guru and Krishna, everywhere. And as we chant more purely, our hearts become painted, like you paint the walls of a room. Our hearts become painted with this bhav, seva bhav, service bhav. So wherever we look, we see opportunities to serve. But most people, especially new people, they may be standing in a room somewhere or in an ashram, and there's 500 different services that could be rendered, and they don't see any of them. Even if there's the floor is covered with milk right in front of them, they don't even see it. They don't even see it somehow or other, because the enjoying spirit is so great. The I'm ahamameti spirit is so great, even in sadhakas, that I and mine, that I'm the center, I'm the enjoyer, that we can't see anything else. We can't see service. We can't see the opportunities for serving others or for serving the situation, what to speak of Guru and Krishna. Because we're so absorbed in making arrangements for and utilizing the environment for our own service, for our own pleasure, for our own satisfaction. But here, on the topmost level of Krishna's Leela, Krishna himself, he's looking, where's an opportunity to serve Radharani? This is the beauty of the Goswami Granths. They actually show us the heart of God. The other Vaishnava scriptures, they try to teach the sadhaka how to have the heart of a devotee. But they don't really reveal much about the heart of God. But the Goswami Granths, the followers of Lord Chaitanya, they actually expose the inner heart of God himself. What is his heart made of? But in Sri Ram Bhaktas, Vishnu Bhaktas, they have no real idea about the heart of God. Because their scriptures, they're all teaching about how to have the heart of a devotee and how to serve the Lord and love Ram, love Narayan. But the intimacies of what we find about the Lord is unbelievable. It's overwhelming how Krishna operates and how he thinks. So now he's entered Nikunj, and most would think, oh, now he's in the Nikunj, now he's going to enjoy. He's with his Swamini, he's with his Priyaji. Now he'll take advantage of the situation and enjoy himself. When a man is with his wife or whomever, he doesn't think, oh, now I finally attained the object of my desire. The object of my desire. Finally attained intimate opportunity to enjoy the object of my desire. And now let me serve them. Let me serve. Oh, now I'm alone with my wife. How can I? Let me massage her feet. let me do some service. But this is what God thinks. This is what Krishna thinks. So then, with his eyes, he indicates to the mandris, I want to serve. I want to serve Priyaji. I want to serve Radharani. So the mandris run out and get a pitcher of water and a cup. And then, taking that water pitcher, then Krishna, because they've been walking, Radha and Krishna have been walking along the banks of Radhakund or Shamakund, touring the different forests, going through the different six seasonal forests, rainy season, and fall season, winter and spring. And maybe while they're walking along here and there, going through different seasonal forests, or maybe some dust in this forest or some mud in that forest due to the rain or the dryness. So Swamini's feet have some dirt on them, some mud on them. So Krishna notices that. So then when he enters the kunj, he doesn't think, oh boy, we're going in the kunj. There's the flower bed, and the incense is billowing, and it smells so fragrant, and the mandris are pulling on the flower fan. It's such a beautiful atmosphere here, and I'm really feeling desirous, and here's my opportunity. But he's thinking, oh, look, Radharani's feet, there's some braj there, and a beautiful color of her feet can't be seen. It's covered with this dirt. There's an opportunity for me to wash Radharani's feet. So then he indicates that with his eyes. It's all told with his eyes. And the mandris say, oh, look at this. And the mandris become so happy. Oh, Braja Kishore wants to bathe Swamini's feet. Acha, oh, let me, that I want to see. That I want to help. So immediately they run out and get the water and they come back. So then Krishna, he bends down and he sits Radharani on the edge of the flower bed, and then he starts washing Priyaji's lotus feet. Then the mandris, they bring in the water, and they bring in maybe some bowl to put underneath Radharani's feet to catch the water, the Radha Charanamrita. But then in their hurry to bring the water, they forgot to bring some towel to dry her feet. And then they become so absorbed in admiring Radharani's feet, how the beauty becomes revealed as the dirt falls off the feet, seeing the beautiful toenails, and the Parasiti really dig the Satpadangali Nake, the Padangali, the beautiful toenails of Radharani emanating such beautiful soft and soothing and brilliant ruby red light, which satisfies the heart and attracts the eyes. The mandris are relishing that, and they're lost in their own relish, but more than relishing that, they're relishing the face of Shyam as he's serving their Swamini. They're relishing seeing the face of someone engaged in devotional service. Because it's also very relishable to serve Krishna. It's also very relishable to see someone engaged in Krishna's service, really into it, with heart and soul. Someone who's actually chanting his rounds with devotion and attention and surrender, or feelingly cooking for the Lord. Just to look in the kitchen, see someone cooking an offering, they're chanting, they're singing, they're absorbed in their Lord, and to see the face of that person. This, of course, creates lots of sanskars or bhakti, just to see. That's why we go on parikrama. That's why we go to holy places, so we can see the faces of pure people and devoted people. I remember when I used to live in Vrindavan, sometimes I would walk backwards on the parikrama mark. I wasn't on parikrama, but I was just chant japa and walk backwards on the parikrama mark and look at all the sadhus. I wouldn't really look at ladies too much, because that's not very much anukul. But I would look at all the saintly people and make eye contact with them also, deliberately, and with a loving, appreciative look. And they would look at me, and I look at them, and they'd say, Jai Radhe, Hare Krishna. And then they would say, Hare Krishna, Jai Radhe. And then I would imprint that in my heart. I would take that picture with the Polaroid camera of my heart and keep that face in my heart, that pure face, that devoted face, that dedicated face. Sometimes I see the faces of persons that have been going on Vrindavan Parikrama every day for 50 years, 30 years. So that's a powerful face. That's a pure face. That's a dedicated face. That's a devotional face. And that's the kind of face I'd like to have. But it may take a few thousand lifetimes. At least I can take pictures of those type of faces and record them in my heart. So more than relishing the sight of Radharani's feet being bathed by Shyam, the mandris are relishing seeing the face of Shyam engaged in Radharani's service. How he's absorbed, and how he's so much attentive, and how he's so careful, and how he's not doing something else while he's bathing Radharani's feet. He's not chanting japa while he's bathing Radharani's feet. He's not rolling chapatis while he's bathing Radharani's feet. He's not licking envelopes for life membership while he's bathing Radharani's feet. He's not editing a newsletter while he's bathing Radharani's feet. He's not let me say, rebooting his hard drive or cleaning up his hard disk while he's bathing Radharani's feet. Of course, he is cleaning up his hard disk. He's cleaning up his heart from all those Chandravali bobs. But that's a side point. But what happens is that the Mandri becomes lost in rapture, seeing Krishna serving Radharani's feet, and she forgets to bring the towel. So Krishna can't wait. So immediately, he takes his yellow chadar. He takes his own chadar and starts drying Radharani's feet with his own chadar. And then when the Mandri sees that, she oh, my God, I forgot to bring the towel. Anyway, it's too sweet. It's too late now. I might as well sit here and keep relishing. So he starts drying Radharani's feet because he's doing puja. He's doing charana puja. But then the Mandri thinks, oh, I forgot the towel, but at least I can get the next item of puja. So then Mandri runs out and picks some beautiful bela flowers. Bela flowers and some gardenias, and Rajganda. It's called Rajganda, the king of fragrances. Brings some beautiful white Rajganda gardenia flowers and some bela flowers and rushes back in just in time for Krishna. Because now he's washed Radharani's feet from all the dust, and then he with that water from the water pitcher, and then now it's time to offer artik. So then the Mandri hands flowers. So then Krishna offers flowers. Idam pushpam sringrang radhikaye swaha. And he offers flowers at her feet with proper mantras, and then he chants Prem Dwani. Because after Artik, you're supposed to chant the Prem Dwani. Niti Lila Pravishtam Vishnupad Shishimad Esi. Like this, right? Prem Dwani. So then he chants the Prem Dwani to Ashishtadev. Then he says, Jai Prema Mai Ki! Jai Prema Mai Radhika Ki! Jai! She is my Prema Mai. She is my abode of Prem. She is made of Prem. She is Prem personified. All glories to Prema Mai Radhika. So now he's concluded his artik. So after you conclude the artik and the puja, the bathing and an artik and the Prem Dwani, then you offer obeisances. So it's told in the shastras we should offer obeisances with eight limbs, antaranga and bahiranga. So we offer with the body, the external body, but also with the words. We're supposed to say something. We're supposed to chant the pranam mantras or just say, Jai Gurudev, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Babaji Maharaj, or whatever. Say something. Jai Guru Maharaj or Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Saya, whatever the pranam mantra is. So that's with the words. And then with the mind. The mind must be embracing the feet of the guru that we're paying obeisances to. So now Krishna has finished his artik, he's chanted the Prem Dwani, he's offering obeisances at the feet of his Ishtadev, begging for forgiveness, any offenses in his puja, any offenses he may have made in puja, mantrahinam, kriyahinam, bhaktihinam, janardana, yat puchitam, mayadevam, paripanam, darastame. Like this, he's chanting mantras to be aparad bhanga, mantras to break the aparads. But the thing is that this is not an ordinary pujari. This pujari is Bhagavan, is Krishna, this is Priyatam, and this is not an ordinary Ishtadev or Ishtata. This is Radharani, Premamayi Radharani. So when this pujari offers obeisances after his artik, he starts crying, Premashru. And with those tears, he offers another bathing of Radharani's feet. So he concludes his puja of Radharani by bathing Radharani's feet with his Premashru, which is appropriate conclusion to the worship of Premamayi Radharani. So now we are hearing this verse is about the beauty of Radharani's moon-like face, which is says chamatkrita charulila lavanya mohana. It says that her face is radhananam. Anana means face. Radhananam madaranga kalanidanam. Kala Nidhi, Nidhi means treasure and also means the different phases of the moon. Kala Nidhanam is a word for the moon. It's a poetic way to say Chandra or moon. Because Kala means phases and Nidhi means, it's Kala Nidhi means the moon. So Radharani, Madhuranga, her face is so sweet. And so at this time, after Krishna's concluded his worship of Radharani, and he's looking at Radharani's feet with tears in his eyes. Then Radharani looks, he's looking down at Shyam. Radharani's face at this time looks so beautiful, and so many beautiful, you know, ecstasies are revealed in her face, and this is what's being seen in his meditation. Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur is seeing this pastime which was described, and he's appreciating how Radharani's face looks at this time. So much intimate love, so many confidential feelings, and in her face as she glances at her Priyatam while he's offering obeisances at her feet after duly worshipping her in the Kailini Kunj. So this is described there. Very enchanting, her eyes, her movements of her eyes and her eyebrows, and so much love and so much appreciation. And this is the beauty of the spiritual world. This is the beauty of Radha Krishna's Leela, that they're showing by their own interactions and their own loving dealings and exchanges what love is, what real love is, what pure love is. It's so pure and so sweet and so selfless and self-forgetful. We have to hear about it and over again and think about it and meditate on it and pray for it and follow it, so that we can someday actually become qualified, and those type of feelings will come into our hearts slowly, slowly. And then we can develop the proper adhikar to receive more. We can attract their attention. It's all about attracting their attention. Without attracting their attention, there is no dissension. The bhavas of their heart will not descend into their heart unless we attract them. As Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, don't try to see Krishna, but act in such a way that Radha and Krishna will try to see you. So it's a matter of attracting their attention. So bhav is magnetic. Bhav has magnetic power, attractive power. So where do we get bhav? We get bhav from bhavamayi Radha and bhavamayi Krishna and the bhava bhaktas and the premi bhaktas of Krishna Leela and Gaura Leela, hearing about them, glorifying them, praying them, serving them. Then their bhavas can come into our heart. Then that's the perfection, that's the siddhi. So tomorrow we'll discuss about Tribhanga. Why Krishna is standing in threefold form. There are many answers to that question. But we'll take up one answer tomorrow. Why is Krishna standing in threefold bending form? Is it because he's tired? Is it because he has spondylitis? Is it because he got in a car accident? He has a lumbar lumbago, his lumbar vertebrae are out of whack, so he can't stand straight. What is the reason why does Krishna stand in threefold bending form? No other form of God stands like that. Everyone else stands up straight. So his mother was very permissive. She allowed him to develop bad posture. But Kaushalya and Ram's mother, they were very strict about his posture. So he learned to stand straight, walk straight, and act straight. But Krishna didn't learn anything straight. Everything he learned was crooked. So he had to blame Mother Yashoda. She taught him all crooked things. Right? From crooked mother makes crooked child. Bhagavan Sri Krishna ki jai.